One Sunday morning, the pastor noticed that 7-year-old Alex was staring at the large plaque in the narthex of the church. This boy had been staring at it for a long time, so the pastor went up to him and said to him, "Good morning, Alex." "Good morning, Pastor," the boy replied. "Pastor Smith, what is this plaque?" So the pastor answered, "Well, son, these are all the men who have died in the service." So the boy and the pastor stood looking at the plaque a little longer. And then Alex very quietly asked the pastor, "Which one, the 9 o'clock or the 10:45? Got that, right? Well, when you come to church, do you expect anything to happen to you? Does anything ever happen when we come face to face with God? Well, this morning, I'm going to tell you that something's going to happen to you today. Maybe some of us woke up this morning wishing things could change, praying something would happen to me or to my life or our family or that our world would be different. This morning, I want to assure you that something is going to happen at this 9 o'clock service. In 2020, the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life made news by reporting their survey that 1 out of 5 Americans are no longer affiliated with any religion at all. We call them nuns. 1 out of 5 are nuns, N-O-N-E-S. But interestingly, of the nuns, 1/3 of them still believe in God. And in fact, half of them consider themselves spiritual, though not religious. In addition, in the 2008 poll of 1,700 Americans by Baylor University, 55% replied yes to this question: "I was protected from harm by a guardian angel." 1 out of 5 Americans believe in angels. 1 out of 5 also say that they have heard God speak to them. 25% say that they have witnessed a miraculous healing. And 16% say that they themselves have received a miraculous healing. And 8% say that they pray in tongues. So it is certain that we Americans believe in God. That much is sure. Even though we are not sure where we belong, which church we belong to. What does the Bible have to say about that? What does our church say about people who believe that there is something more than just the things that we can feel and touch, that there is a lot more than just the material things that we have? And this is where our Transfiguration Sunday comes into the picture. Pastor Daniel read from the Gospel, Luke, and all of the Gospels have this story where Jesus is suddenly changed, transfigured, we say, in front of his 3 disciples. Transfiguration is a Sunday that we Christians make a claim that ought to make us surprised, that ought to make the world surprised, because we say we know the truth about God on Transfiguration Sunday. And what more could be greater than that truth, that we know a truth about God? What are we saying today about this truth about God? For me, Transfiguration can be summarized by this simple equation: God plus humanity equals? And today, we answer this question. Last night, our craft feed tables were beautifully arranged with decorations from Mardi Gras. And around the tables, there were many people who wore masks, right? It was wonderful to see that, many of our kids. And we suggested to people that next year, they should come fully dressed for Mardi Gras. And a lot of people said they would. Masks and masquerades really touch us because it hits a spot in our hearts. Masks, when we put them on, they express our desire for change. We want to be different. And when we put on a mask, we become more beautiful, more powerful, smarter, stronger, right? I mean, our kids go all out on Halloween and down in New Orleans and Mardi Gras. They wear all kinds of masks, expressing a desire for change. Transfiguration Sunday says, on this day, God took off his mask. Now, why did God have a mask on in the first place? In the Bible, Moses and Elijah are the two people the Bible considers to be the closest to God. These are people, we say, who met God face to face, as it were. And in fact, in Exodus, there's a scene of where Moses is approaching God, and God makes a way for him so that he could peep at God through this crack in the rock, right? Whenever people met God, according to the Bible, you died. Humanity can't handle God. So it is as if, in the Bible, God has to put on a mask so that we could approach God. The Jewish people had a tradition that God is so holy, so majestic, so full of light that we dare not even give God a name. You know that in the Hebrew language, the name for God is some gibberish, some words that you can't pronounce. So that God has no name at all in the Old Testament. Simply, Jewish people use another word, Adonai, whenever they came to this gibberish. Because God is that holy. Even speaking the name of God, the Jewish people felt, was to defame, to say that this is God is to say this isn't God. God is even more than that. God is even greater than that. But on Transfiguration Sunday, here comes Jesus. And he says, I'm taking my mask off. Peter, James, and John sees Jesus filled with this light. It was as if it was the afternoon sun magnified 100 times more, and they could hardly see him, who he was. But in the midst of that, they see Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. Now you would think, in that moment, there will be some announcement, pronouncement about who God is. Yet on this day, the Bible tells us, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah were talking about suffering. Now, all religions around the world have said that humanity and human life is full of suffering. That's just a given truth, and no one would deny that. Well, maybe the Christian scientists deny that. But most everybody would say, yes, human life is filled with suffering. So what's new about that? But in fact, most religions have said, God doesn't know any suffering. In the Greek philosophy, God was apathos. God could not feel suffering. God could not be connected to suffering because suffering was what belonged to humanity, not to God. But here was Jesus speaking to Moses and Elijah saying, I must go to Jerusalem. I will suffer. By saying that, Jesus proclaims that God knows suffering. God knows us. God knows our story. Not only that, God embraces our suffering. God dares to walk with us through our suffering to the next place. Jesus knew it. He knew loneliness. He knew rejection. He knew betrayal. He knew hurt. He experienced hopelessness on the cross. Yet Jesus says, God is there with me, and God is there with us today. With Jesus, we too can take off our mask. Because how many of us come here this day to this place, to the 9 o'clock service, thinking, I have to hide my suffering, or else God may not love me, God may misunderstand me, God may even reject me. But Transfiguration Sunday says, God knows our story. God knows our suffering. And we can take off our mask before God. There is a story about a kindergarten teacher who was asked by a boy what he was drawing. Without pausing to look up, he said, I'm drawing God. Teacher smiled and said to him, but nobody knows what God looks like. Well, the boy carefully put down his crayons and looked up at his teacher and said, when I'm finished, they'll know. And this morning, we come to church today, to the 9 o'clock, to claim that we know this God that we worship, that we know this God of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Marianne if she could play the organ softly in the background. And I want us to join together to go up the Mount of Transfiguration with me. Would you now close your eyes? You and I are going to climb up that Mount of Transfiguration. And as we go up to the summit, we will see Jesus, and he stands before you. And right before your eyes, the events described in the Bible happens. A pure light surrounds Jesus, and that light is now reflected on you, as it did on Moses. And you can feel that warmth. You can feel that light beginning to enter your face, down your neck, enter your heart, enter the deepest part of your life. And now hear Jesus speaking to you. My child, I am with you. I have seen your sorrows. I know about your failures. I have seen your heart. I hear your cries. Bring them to me. You and I are one. Together, you and I can make it. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can take you away from God's love and acceptance. So you take that deepest thing in your heart and you take it to the light. You give it to Jesus in faith, in trust, knowing that God understands and God will never let you down. Let yourself be bathed in the light, in that brilliance, that glory. And let that light change you. Now slowly, your face still warm, shining, radiant, and your faith glowing and changing, you walk down the mountain into the church, into your family, into this world, to your work, knowing that God knows your name, that God calls you my child, and God is with you. And now you slowly open your eyes into that reality. Without our masks, we become mirror of God, God's reflection in this world. My in-laws live in Virginia, so we've gone down to Virginia to visit the Luray Caverns of Virginia, one of the famous caverns of this country. When you enter that cavern underground, you see amazing beauty. This is things growing from the ceiling, things growing up from the bottom, and oftentimes when you look up, you feel this drop of cold water. But there is an amazing place in that cavern called the Mirror Lake. There's a place maybe 7 or 8 feet wide. There's water in that place, in that small lake. But you can't see it. You think it's the ceiling, but it is reflecting, perfect reflection of the ceiling. You touch it, and then you realize that there is a mirror. There is water that's mirroring it back. I think about our life with Jesus, and Jesus, we say, mirrored God on this earth. He showed us what God's heart was like. And I think our life with God is that we are trying to mirror Jesus too, God's glory, God's love. And of course, sometimes our mirror is muddy. We don't do a good job of that. Yet I know that our world is looking for people. They want to know that God is alive. They want to know that God loves them. They want to know that our life has a meaning. May you go this week knowing that you are filled with God's glory, and that when people see you, they see God, they see Jesus, they feel God's love, and they know that they have been in God's presence. May God love you this week, and may you know that God goes with you wherever you go. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for showing us a part of yourself today. Help us never forget that you are by our side and that you make our concern your deepest concern. Help us to live in your love. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.